Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Ask yourself, what followed the Black Death? We all know the answer, the Renaissance, rebirth. That's a famous quote from the Dan Brown, the author of the famous books of the Da Vinci Code. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be in this magical, magnanimous, magnificent, majestic, marvelous, metaphysical, miraculous, mind-awakening, mind-boggling, and mind-blowing planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio. I am your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, here with you yet again for what I like to say is another soul adventure and an inspiring episode to explore, discuss, and discover the many diamonds within each and every one of us and the many diamonds in our world that have yet to be revealed. So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, kick back, sit back, or lie back, take in a nice, deep, healing, peaceful, and cleansing breath, and let us prospect together today as we discuss today's show topic, which is all about the Renaissance. We're going to be talking about the 21st century Renaissance and our roaring 20s. I guess you could call this a follow-up to a couple of shows that I've done. We've been on the air now here at Ohm Times Radio for 8 seasons. I've done a couple podcasts back in 2018, 2019, where I was talking about this decade of our roaring 20s and how this decade of transformations, of truth, of tribulations, of trials would all be a part of this next decade. So today we're gonna go a little bit deeper and add on to those podcasts we've done from the previous season. So if you haven't checked those shows out, please go back and check those. I talked about the Great Global Pause, the Great Coming Together, psychic predictions for the Roaring Twenties, and today I'm gonna really look at the Renaissance that a lot of academia, a lot of historians are talking about what we're going through, and I'm gonna share some of those insights with you, and you know, things that we can prepare for. And then I've got a little surprise at the end of the show that you'll want to stay tuned as well. So as I like to say, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live, and let's discover that diamond within. I do want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our Inspired listeners from all around the globe, the universe, and beyond. My team and I here at Inspired Living Radio are always so very humbled and grateful to you for listening, downloading, subscribing, leaving reviews, and voting to make Inspired Living Podcast a top 100 ranked inspirational show to follow and listen to for the last 3 years running now. And we hope to keep that up and keep the inspirational work flowing for you. But I just want to say we do appreciate you as the listeners. And we like to say that you are the inspired and the inspiration for what we do. If you've not yet subscribed, liked, or followed the show, there's always time to do so over on our main social media platforms at Facebook. That's the main group page is called Inspired Living Radio and Podcast. You can also follow us at Instagram and Twitter under Inspired for Us. You can also follow the YouTube channel, which is Inspired Living Radio. And you can now follow me on TikTok under the Intuitive Prospector, where we have a lot of fun. In fact, if you haven't already, go over to my TikTok channel before they ban it. I'm not sure they're going to keep it, but we'll see. I've got a video that's gone viral. It's got about 305,000 views, different likes. It's a lot of fun. It'll give you, if you have a rough day, it might just give you a laugh, something to giggle at. And that's over on the TikTok Intuitive Prospector channel. If you have not yet subscribed, like I said, make sure to hit that like button or subscription, and we will do our best to bring you shows each and every other week here on Inspired Living Radio. And if, again, if you miss the live broadcast, which is every Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, you can always follow us now on your favorite podcasting platform, from iTunes to iHeart to YouTube to Spotify to Audible. And you can even now say, Alexa, open up Inspired Living Podcast to play the latest episode. And with that, we like to say, you are the inspired and the inspiration, but we also like to say, be inspired, inspire others, inspire before we expire. Ready to go prospecting? Let's go. All right. So today we're talking about the 21st century Renaissance and our roaring 20s. And if you're a fan, if you're a student of history like myself, I always go back and I read about history a lot of my off time, a lot of historical books, a lot of history classes in high school and in college. And then the first time I read about the Renaissance, which would be born in not ideal circumstances. It was really, the first Renaissance was literally a rebirth of human culture and the transformation of our society, our consciousness, the human mind. This is where we started to question our reality and rethink, therefore we are something more. And that first Renaissance of enlightenment would then go on to give birth to a second Renaissance, and I'll talk more about that later in the show. But now in our roaring 20s, which just has been quite the roaring 20s for us, no doubt about it, a lot of academia, a lot of historians, a lot of theorists, there's a lot of conversation that things are so turbulent right now in our society with all the different viewpoints, pundits, opinions, experts on social media, our YouTube. And what it's doing, it's creating not only chaos, but it's also creating transformation, because we know that usually transformation is preceded by great chaos and sometimes violence and sometimes war. We've seen that in our history. And that's what I love about history. Whether you agree with our history or not, history is here to teach us to not repeat the things of our past. And if we are not learning from our past, then we're really no different than the rest of the animal kingdom. We just keep making our mistakes, keep doing it over and over again. You know, they always say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Well, we were hit with a global pandemic, a deadly global pandemic that's killed to date almost 7 million people from around the globe. It's been 3 years this week. If you go back in history in this time, this is when the country literally started to shut down. How do I know? Because Seattle was the first city to actually shut down. The first death, the first newsworthy death was right here in Kirkland, Washington, which is about 8 miles away from my studio. And that's when I say coverage, that's when the news started picking up that people were actually now dying from this COVID-19 strain. It's now been looked at that probably some of the first cases were actually coming out of California. But, you know, it's interesting when you know your history. Three years ago to this week that I'm broadcasting today is when we literally shut down everything, couldn't go back to work, couldn't get on the bus, had to start wearing a mask. It was kind of a panic and a fear and a doom and gloom kind of energy. And now it's 3 years into the present moment, and we're now starting to look at how COVID-19 changed us, transformed us, created a tipping point, if you will, created a paradigm shift, if you will. And that's what renaissances usually are preceded by some sort of global pandemic. Like, you know, I opened up the show with a quote from Dan Brown. And if you know Dan Brown and love Dan Brown and his books like I do, he talked about the Black Death and the Renaissance and the rebirth that came after the Black Death. Some would actually theorize that the Black Death, which killed 25% of the population, actually gave rise to the modern worker. That's what history is teaching us. And if we go back 100 years ago, again, here in Seattle, I don't know if it's because we're at the top of the Pacific Northwest or the West Coast and things come over from Asia, I'm not sure. But we ended up getting the Great Influenza Flu 100 years ago. Now, some of you in history may know it as the Great Spanish Flu, or just the Spanish flu. The reason we know today in history that it's called the Spanish flu is because the only country that was allowed to report on it at the time was the country of Spain. We can now go back in history and determine that actually the Great Influenza Flu probably stemmed from right here in the United States, Kansas City, as we were sending doctors and soldiers over to start wrapping up World War I. And then it spread from there. But it's 100 years to the day to where 100 years later, where again, we have this global pandemic that that makes people to really go internal, to be isolated, to shift their perspectives. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what the theorists, what the academia, and what the historians are calling our third renaissance. And this renaissance is interesting because this renaissance, with everything going on in our world, from the possibility of UFOs and aliens to political divide, political chaos, political violence, to historical making, presidents being indicted, things we just don't see, homelessness, another rise, another virus on the rise based on a strain that's being reported right now that's raising eyebrows. So, these are things that are going to continue to happen in our life, in our journey, in our world. And it really comes down to, when a renaissance takes place, how do we as a species, as a society, how do we evolve? How do we grow? How do we learn? How do we move through? How do we transform into a state of being to where our history is bright and the future is open to grasp and grab with equality and equity and without racism and without misogyny and without greed and without ego? These are the things that are really being thrown in all of our faces right now. And we see it from, the latest economy, possible recessions, bank failures, bank buyouts, bank buy-ins. I have a little bit of history. Before I started doing radio, I was actually part of the biggest bank, some would say biggest bank failure / takeover in U.S. history, here with Washington Mutual in Seattle, Washington. So this is an industry of the economy that I followed my economy classes when I was in college. And, you got to keep an eye on that because we're all driven by cash. We're all driven by money. And if you think about it, we're the only species that pays to live here. But that, too, is going to start to morph. That is going to transform to where, we may not necessarily move with money in the future. And we'll talk about that more in this show. But let me get us just a quick sip of coffee. My voice is a little rusty here, and if I sound a little bit different, it's because I'm calling in today. We were having some mic issues, so that's what that's what happens. Is as Darwin always says, it's the flexible and the adaptable that survive in times of change, and sometimes that's what we have to do. But now with these roaring 20s, like I said, if you haven't followed my work or followed my shows, you can go back and listen to it. They're timestamped there and in history for you to listen to, where I talked about our roaring 20s were going to be very eye-opening, very mind-blowing, very mind-boggling parts of our society and our globe that will no longer look different. And I said at the time of this pandemic, and you can quote me on this, I said that we would not go back to normal. And the reason I said that we wouldn't go back to normal, because the normal before the pandemic wasn't working for a lot of people. And this gave people, whether you're in healthcare, first responders, science, retail, this gave everybody a reflection point, a tipping point, a paradigm shift to say, I want to do something different. Life is short, carpe diem, go seize the day. And that's what this pandemic really started to do. And I personally believe, I'm not one of fear and gloom and doom and fear mongering, but when I see stuff as an intuitive, as a seer, as a futurist, as a student of history, there are some trying times that are still to be laid before us. And it's going to be how we deal with these changing times, these transformative times, because that is our greatest power. When people say, I just heard the other day, somebody said, oh, I'm having a bad day. And I thought for a second, are you really having a bad day? Or are you just having a bad moment? Are you letting one bad moment destroy and take away from one being in the now, but also taking away from being in the present moment and enjoying the rest of your day? So I hear people say that a lot. No, you just had a bad moment. Doesn't make it a bad day. We've had some bad moments, but we've also grown and we've learned through this journey. And I personally believe that the future looks bright, that this too shall pass. Just like I said during the pandemic, that this too shall pass and we'll be greater for it. We'll be better for it. Is it sad and heartbreaking to see so many souls move to the other side, almost 7 million to date? Yes. I personally myself was impacted both. I lost a friend who I played hoops with in high school. I almost lost a family member where we literally had the FaceTime call in the operating room where this relative was actually presented the option of taking remdesivir, which is a strong antibiotic, and an antibiotic shot, or going on a respirator. Luckily, she chose to go on remdesivir, which had a lot of controversy at the time, a lot of debates and opinions about it. But she took it, she had her antibiotic shot, and she's alive today to continue her journey. And so I definitely had a front row seat to COVID-19. I didn't think I would get that close to it, but again, you don't know what the day is going to bring. So we've had our bad moments, and we can look back at those bad moments and say, okay, how do we change how we move forward with our social media, with our politics, with how we treat people? And for me, the future looks bright, because at that time, with the podcast I've done in the past, looking into the future, which would be now 3 years from when I did the first podcast, the words that I used were the words of sustainability, self-mastery, homeostasis. Homeostasis is a medical term to where the nervous system is not in a state of fight and not in a state of fight or flight. So I don't know which one I said first. So fight or flight, that's the nervous system usually does one of two things, fight or flight. If you can find a middle ground of homeostasis, the middle ground is a point where you can rest and the nervous system isn't having to fight from something and isn't having to fight something. I see society moving towards a homeostasis, a more central point, getting away from any kind of extreme left, extreme right viewpoints that promote fascism or violence or book burning or critical race theory. I've been hearing the words woke a lot. And I just wrote about this, that, you know, woke is a joke. Woke is something that is representation of good, where I hear people using it as a dogma, as a negative. And woke has always been associated with positivity, inspiration. To be awoke, you know, when I wake up today, I don't look at being awake as a bad thing. I guess some people might, but when I'm awoke, that's my journey to have my soul adventure. That's my experience to learn life. And, you know, woke is just a word that's just being recalibrated and applied to decade-long problems without finding solutions. That's all it's doing. It's just really just renaming old problems with a new word to get people fired up, divided, tribalism, culture wars. That's what this has taken place. But we have to go through that so people can have the awareness, which is the greatest agent for change, and the transparency to say, you know, woke isn't a bad thing. You know, it's just we're waking up to some of the problems that have been either dormant or ignorance is bliss. We don't want to address our history. Our history has, as I've learned over the last, you know, since this pandemic and had time to study and read, and our history is pretty bad. Our where we come from as a country, you know, this melting pot that we're in, the violence that was done, not just from, you know, people talk a lot about World War II and what was done to the Jewish culture and society, which is horrible. And don't condone that, but we don't talk about, you know, the millions and millions of people, innocent people that were impacted by World War II. We don't talk about the re-education of the indigenous cultures here in America and the 50 states that were not always the 50 states. There was land before the United States, and there was people that lived here. And these are things that we have to learn about and become aware about, because that's the only way that we're going to change to move forward. And so I do feel that the future looks better than we think, but we must design and navigate and govern it wisely. If we don't do that, then history is going to repeat itself. As Mark Twain said, history repeats itself, not in the same way, but it has a rhyme and a rhythm to it, and that's where we're at. So today, we're all about the 21st century renaissance and our roaring 20s, and we're only just a few decades in. And if you think about everything that we've done since the 2000s, as we go into, you know, we're in 2023, we've seen, you know, from the 21st century, we've seen massive economic crashes. Like I said, I was part of the biggest bank takeover when Chase Bank took over Washington Mutual here in Seattle. Was definitely a part of that. So I definitely have some experience in the economy and the banking system. That's why I left and didn't go back. Would never go back into the banking system. And nothing against bankers and those. My wife's in banking. It's just something that I didn't want to be a part of anymore. We've seen geopolitical quagmires all over the place. We've seen significant bank failures, even that's happening right now in current 2023. And who would have thought that we'd see bank failures, which causes, you know, fear and worry. And, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, it's like the stock market. The two things that drive the stock market are fear and greed. So we've seen a lot of sovereignty wars, countries that have their own sovereignty and then are taken over and then have to fight, just like the United States had to fight against England and the Redcoats and the British Army back to gain our independence. And the only way we gained our independence, if you know your history, is we had countries that came to our aid, including France and including you know, our other allies that allowed us to become a democracy, to become independent. And we see that right now with what's going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is a sovereign nation, was declared sovereign, its own sovereignty, and Russia decided, no, we want to take it back, which then creates a war. So we've seen that just in the first two decades of our 21st century. We've seen a rapid technology growth, huge expansion. I'm always my mind is blown when I look at how far technology has taken us. And the expansion of technology, you know, if you go back in history and if you know who Nikola Tesla was, we would know him as the father of frequency. When he was doing his experiments back in 1865, he talked and wrote a lot about in his journals about how we would connect with people around the world through a little black box. And if you think about your current smartphone today, what I used to do in the day, what the smartphone can do that's in my pocket as we speak, it can literally do like 25 different things. It can record, it can watch movies, it can play music, it can do a compass. I've got a tape measure on there. I've got a flashlight on there. You know, whatever app is on there, I can pull that out and be able to do it right in the palm of my hand. Nikola Tesla was talking about this. And because this was 1865 and, you know, the mindset was not where it is today as far as culture goes, he was actually deemed as a witch, a warlock, you know, messing with things he shouldn't be. But when we look at it today, we look at that as normal technology. But as the technology grows in this renaissance of our roaring 20s, we're now having discussions about AI. Some of you maybe heard of ChatGPT. We'll get into more on that in the second half of the show when we get ready to take our break here in just a few minutes. But during these first two decades of the 21st century, we've witnessed all this, the rapid technology growth and expansion. Like I said, there's a huge housing and homelessness bureaucracy going on right now, because that's direct reflection of the economy and how we make money. And we have people making billions and trillions of dollars now, and we have people that can barely survive, you know, that are on poverty wages. And we're now in the state of a decline of democracy. Some wouldn't agree with that. And, you know, when I do these shows, I always just remind the listening audience that I'm putting out a buffet. You know, a buffet is for you to pick from. There's some things that you may like. You may like the carrots, but you may not like the broccoli, if you will. So I present this just as a point of discussion, and I lay it out as a spiritual buffet for you to choose what you agree and what you don't agree. But as we move forward, we're going to start to see more of, yeah, we can agree to disagree, but let's find common ground. Let's find ways to move forward. You know, there's a there's a famous quote from Albert Einstein that talked about life is like a bike. You have to have balance. In order to have balance on a bike, you have to keep moving forward. So we don't really, you know, we have choice and free will, but I believe the choice of the majority is going to want to move forward and find common ground without zero-sum games, which we see a lot in today's politics in the country. I did talk about the United States looking differently in the future, with not all 50 states being on board, which would be, you know, history would remind us that that would be a civil war. If a state secedes from the union, that creates a civil war. I do believe that we're in the mix of that energy and that thought of not just culture wars, but also civil war, and also the possibility of a world war based on resources, based on technology, based on, you know, sovereignty wars. This is my land. This is my land. We're going to continue to see that, mostly not just with Ukraine and Russia, but we'll start to see that transformation over into Taiwan, which is our ally, and China wanting to take Taiwan. That's already been communicated. It's just not, it's not if, it's when, which would most likely create a new world war. And I say a war not with nuclear weapons, because nobody wins, but a war that would, you know, necessarily be a technology war, not so much, you know, boots on the ground. But that's just in the first two decades of our 21st century. And what's happening, you know, with this tribalism, a divided nation, I've written an article, does democracy have a termination date, an expiration date? Possibly. But, you know, with this all going on, and now we've now added this deadly global pandemic, which is now an endemic. It's not killing as many people, but it's still around, and it will be around. And, you know, it's historically, pandemics have forced us as humans to break with our past and to imagine a world anew. And this one is no different. It's a new portal, a door, a gateway, a global transformation, if you will, away from the old ways, the old world, the old ways of thinking, old beliefs, and the new world that awaits us. So we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the 21st century renaissance and our roaring 20s and the things that we can do and the things that we can be aware of. And then I'm going to finish the show with a very special presentation. So stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Inspired Living Radio.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
One planet, 7.3 billion people. Only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. As William Shakespeare reminds us, strong reasons make strong actions. And we've had strong reasons in our past, especially the last 3 years with this global pandemic and everything that we find ourselves in today with all of the unknowns, the uncertainties, what's the future hold. And one of our things that we have as humans, as a species here on the planet, as we are in our roaring 20s, free will and choice has always been our greatest strength as humans. And we can, like I said, we can choose to walk through this portal of change and transformation. You know, some of us dragging along, some of us don't like change. I'm a Taurus and change. you know, when I started on my spiritual path, was always hard to address. I've learned to accept change because that's just the reality of life. And what's the most consistent thing in life? Change. So if this stubborn bull of a Taurus can change, so can you. But as we go through these transformation portals, I guess is what I'll call them, whether, you know, just pick your portal. What door do you want to look at? Do you want to look at the world, the economy, hunger, violence, war, politics? I mean, there's just pick your poison, right? And we can, you know, look at it with free will and choice from a positive standpoint, or we can look at it as just a negative point and address it and move forward to create action, to create change, to have conversations just like we're having today, to create a vibration, to create a ripple effect that people can go back and listen to and say, hey, this is what was going on during the Roaring Twenties. This guy Mark had this podcast. And let's say this is 50 years into the future, and we can talk about what's going on the time, what's going on in our time, which is very disturbing and disruptive for sure and divided, but at the same time talk about where we're heading and the great coming together and the words, like I said, of sustainability, self-mastery, homeostasis, the great coming together is definitely something I see. But then when I see that, I'm like, what is the catalyst that triggers the great coming together? Is it a natural event? Is it a man-made event? Is it an extraterrestrial universal event? We'll find out, but this is just like a modern history book. These podcasts today are like history books. And, you know, I'm just looking back here on my desk, and I've read the autobiographies of first edition, actually, from Abraham Lincoln. A family friend gave it to me as a gift. And that's just always been honored to have, you know, the original first draft copies of not only Abraham Lincoln's biography, but also Ulysses S. Grant. And to read about their energy and their thoughts and their what was going on at their time during the not only the start of the Civil War, but pre-Civil War, during the Civil War, and then after the Civil War, which gave the great restructuring of our country as we somewhat slowly pulled together. But, you know, to say that racism has, you know, walked away from today's culture, you can just look around and see that racism and hatred and bigotry and misogyny is still a part of our society, but we don't have to necessarily put up with it, and we can move forward and leave it behind. So like I said, this new portal, this doorway, this gateway, this global transformation, if you will, we can go through it and we can drag along, you know, our heavy, you know, flesh suits of, you know, prejudice and ego and racism and hatred, our air vice, our dead rivers, our burning forest, our smoky skies, or alternatively, we can walk through lightly with a positive, determined, and inspired mindset, ready for change, knowing that we're carrying some luggage with us from our past and that our history, but, you know, when we have let go of ego and power and greed, and we can govern that and embrace a new world from what history will look back on as our third renaissance of the 21st century, it's a world that can be filled with healing, equality, equity, justice, humanity, equal opportunity for all, impartiality, balance, uniformity, self-mastery, and again, sustainability, homeostasis, and what I view and forecast as the great coming together for our time. So we have to really say, did COVID-19 and this deadly global pandemic that impacted everybody, it didn't matter where you were at in the world, if you were human and had a heartbeat, COVID was looking for a host. And so now we have to really look at this and have conversations, creative conversations, to look at, did this create this new renaissance from 3 years ago? It's been 3 years. Like I said, it started in March of 2020. We were the first to shut down here in Seattle, so I was first impacted by it. We're now back to whatever this new normal is going to be. It's not the old normal. Because a lot of things have changed just in society, the things I'm thinking about right now, terms like the great resignation, quiet quitting. There's a new term called minimal work Mondays. We're looking at the work week. You know, some countries have already moved forward with a 32-hour, four-day work week with no change to your salary. These are things that are already in motion. I don't know if that'll necessarily come to the United States because, you know, we're such a capitalist country, but hopefully I think a lot of people will push for that. And if people, don't want to push for it, that's why we have unions. That's why we have peaceful protests. But I've just seen a lot of these concepts come since COVID-19 happened. So we have to ask ourselves, without COVID-19, would we have, you know, gotten to this point we're at in our history this quick, or would it just would have been taken time to, you know, draw out, and instead of 3 years of transformation, this rapid transformation, would it be 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? I think that we'd finally get there, but we will look back in history, just like we did with the great influenza flu or the Spanish flu, to say we need to start wearing masks, because back then they learned through that pandemic that the influenza was passed via airborne. So that's where masks came into place. And people even back then were, you know, against masks and anti-masks and anti-vax, like we saw in this pandemic. But like I would tell people, if you're not familiar with what an iron lung is from history, maybe look up what an iron lung is. And many people had to go into iron lungs to survive, you know, the great influenza flu. But, that turbulent time allowed us to progress. And that's what I'm really looking back now is without COVID-19, whether it got, you know, released from a lab in Wuhan, which, you know, I think a lot of us science and intelligence will tell us where it originated from. That will come out during this roaring 20s of ours for sure, which will, I'm sure, inflame and cause a lot of dispute and a lot of maybe even some conflicts with that. But this COVID-19 is the catalyst that triggered change, that created a transformation, if you will. And again, history once again is advising us and showing us every day since how we can move forward. A rapid transformation of self, human consciousness, the psychology, and the anthropology of not just the mind, but our society, our home, our career, our awareness for our planet. This has all been driven based on, you know, this great global pandemic, the great global pause, as I did a podcast on, the great resting period. And there have been two historical renaissance to note. So this is where I wanted to talk about the first renaissance, which was the Asian Renaissance. This renaissance would be considered to be more of a very personal, the quest for inner peace, if you will, that enlightenment and the utopia of the mind. The second, known as the European Renaissance, was more of a challenge of dogmas and control, allowing science to take root, allowing science to question our world, allowing science to question religion, allowing art to flourish. In creative ways, but also very, some would say, I don't agree with that. That's very in my face. You know, here's a tall, naked man, you know, staring at me. But that's what the second Renaissance would, today, we wouldn't even question it, based on the first two Renaissances that we've gone through. That first is, like I said, that personal quest that I think, therefore I am. The second one was based on challenging authorities and dogmas. And it, in a sense, it created the possibility for revolution, which then triggered more revolutions, which triggered more revolutions. If you've been to Europe like I have, you know that they've been infighting for hundreds of years, something that we're not necessarily used to here in the United States. But I think that will come into our wheelhouse if it's not already happening. But what it did is it also allowed people to stand together. Against authority, against religious rule, and that it didn't serve a greater good or what we call we the people under our Constitution. So the question, the challenge, and the project laid before us is, can we integrate what we have experienced and learned from our past into this next stage of human evolution, of growth and transformation for a much bigger, brighter, and better tomorrow? So that's what we're talking about today. I'm going to talk about some of the works of Underhiti Roy as a starting off point for this discussion, for future conversations and debates, because again, I lay this out as a buffet. I'm not right or wrong. People that claim to know everything know nothing at all, I think that was Plato that reminds us of that. But this is just me, you know, sharing this transformation and this renaissance with you, because really where we're at, the renaissance, you know, like I said, it replaced dogma with, you know, with curiosity and creativity. The second Renaissance, you know, replaced, you know, technology dogmas such as connectivity, efficiency, speed, optimization, and productivity within the human relevance, the purpose and engagement of self-realization. And this pandemic drove us to the digital transformation. Some would call it the metaverse. I've done a podcast on that, how everything is now done through a digital platform. More people are not wanting to return to work because they know they can work through the digital transformation. from what the pandemic made us do, because we had no other choice. And it was always theorized that the internet could actually support everybody going on to the internet. Well, that has now been proven. And people are now saying, I don't want to go back into the office 5 days a week, 4 days a week. We want a hybrid. We want a flex. I see it in Seattle. The office spaces down in Seattle are just, everything is, you know, there's no tenants. Everything's boarded up. A lot of homelessness. It's really sad to see. And I'm sure Seattle's not the only city. I'm sure there's cities all around the country that are witnessing this as well. But if people don't go back into the cities, back into the buildings, there's a direct ripple effect from small businesses, you know, going out and having lunch, occupancy rates and taxes based on the city codes. So these are all interconnected. And so we're going to have conversations how budgets will look in the future based on people going into this new hybrid digital transformation that we are all in. And again, you've seen companies, big companies like Amazon, Disney, Google, that tried to force their employees to go back. And they said, no, we're not going to go back full time. We'll go back in the office 1 to 2 days a week. Even with my government job, my federal job, we said the same thing. Like, why would I go sit in an office with nobody there? That makes no sense. And, you know, it forced them to say, to look at that from a big corporate standpoint and say, okay, if these employees don't want to go back, they can quit. And the employees took them up on it. People were quitting left and right. The great resignation to say, I'm out. I'm not going to do this because I want to do something or create my own job, create my own business, work for myself instead of making you money. My greatest commodity is my time. So why not make money for myself? And that's where the great resignation really started to come into play. So the Renaissance is here. Whether we like it or not, history will reflect on this as a very turbulent time, but a very transformative time. And, you know, like I said, just a few decades in, we've pretty much seen everything that this this roaring 20s has to offer us. But I would say what the new process for this Renaissance is, because again, I believe this is happening just like it did with the first, just like the second, usually preceded by some sort of global pandemic. From all the dating all the way back to the Black Plague in the 1600s to just 100 years ago to 2020, and I'm sure we'll have another one in the future that will cause transformation and change. But technology today is the new religion. I've looked at stats, I've looked at data. I'm a big data hound. I read a lot of trends and what's trending and what's going on with data. Data always tells a story. Religion as it is at an all-time low, and I believe that is the reason being is because technology has replaced the once mighty church, and it currently dominates our personnel as well as our professional lives. Think about what you do at home. I'm on the computer at work. I'm on the computer at home. I'm on my phone, social media, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, yada, 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 YouTube, right? So technology is really a religion in itself and how many people follow that. You know, there's a lot of sites that you can go to look at this data. Dataism is one of the data sites that I look when it's looking at, like, suicide rates, because suicide rates, unfortunately, are skyrocketing based on today's culture, today's society, especially within our veterans. We've done a couple shows in the past based and dedicated to our veterans, which is about 21 veterans a day committing suicide, which is horrible. It's down from 27, so that's a little bit of positivity in such a negative context. But I look at dataism, and I look at sites that measure stuff like suicide, stuff like, you know, what's the polling of what a religion's doing? You know, why is religion going down? What's the viewpoint of people all around the world? And, you know, it's really about you know, how we communicate, connect, search, buy, sell, entertain, learn. It is all done through a digital technology platform, and that's only going to increase. You know, what was once used to connect us, which we now call social media, you know, I remember when Facebook came out, I remember when Google came out, I remember getting on the internet for the first time. Like, you would go to the internet, and you'd be like, well, where do I go? Where is that, right? And so it's literally, I can go out to the internet, and you're telling me now that I can learn everything that I want about our world through this internet? What are you talking about? Now we look at it as just a normal. And it was to connect us. But through this process of our growth and transformation and this, you know, this COVID-19 pandemic that hit us, what once joined us is now dividing and manipulating and catapulting us towards a more, what I would call an algorithmic system or society, things based on algorithms. You're going to continue to hear more about the technology of algorithms that's tied to our likes, our dislikes, things that we follow, things that we love to buy, things that we watch, algorithms focused on artificial intelligence, which is making a big, big, big rise. But we're also witnessing what I call the rebirth of our humanity. Just as it once awakened back in the early years of Italy, you know, we see it from Silicon Valley, you know, where CEOs are being dragged in front of Congress now in the EU Commission, you know, about what's going on with our technology versus humanity. There's a great couple books that are written about that. One of them is literally called Technology versus Humanity. Great book if you haven't read that. But there's, you know, we're questioning now, what does social media, this digital pollution, if you will, this drinking from a fire hose of information, the debates that are going on about, you know, whether it's sovereignty or data mining or social media's manipulation to young children, how does that impact us in the democratic process, the algorithm bias, if you will, from the last political presidential election. I personally don't believe that we're going to have another fair and free election here in the United States. I feel like we witnessed the last one because it wasn't done in a peaceful way. It wasn't done with a peaceful transfer of power. I think it's actually going to get more rocky for us, unfortunately. But that's, you know, that's part of transformation. That's part of a renaissance. And, you know, technology is this new religion, if you will. But in the future, I believe that this AI, this technology, can also help us to recognize and understand ourselves better, our country, become more inclined to learn about our history and what the real history is, and how, you know, in our world has always been like this. I was thinking about this the other day, but it's just because we have the tools and the technology and the media to share with us all of the good and the bad that take place in a real time. And that's what's really driving a lot of psychology and anthropology changes within our societies. So, one of the things, you know, as this new renaissance started to unfold in 2020, people didn't believe me then. I always say, wait, watch and witness. I talked about the Roaring Twenties. I did talk about the renaissance and the rebirth of humanism and the humanities of, you know, this technology process that we're going through. And, you know, whether it's, you know, economic terms, human purpose, you know, I always talk about people, planet, and prosperity for a new world, if you will. You know, there's a lot of articles that have been written over the last few years, and our world is going to change more in the next 20 years. Think about this. This is what renaissances do. They question, you know, whether we're questioning ourselves in the first, question our external in the second, and now questioning our purpose as humanity, as humans here in the third. Our world is going to change more in the next 20 years than in the previous 300 years. Think about that. Our world is going to change more in the next 20 years than in the previous 300 years. And, you know, a lot of people, that may scare some people, you know, but that's not meant to be scared or fear mongering. That's just to have awareness and conversations about how do we reassert our humanity and maintain our human values in a world that is changing so fast, so rapidly. I'm sure Leonardo da Vinci, you know, what he would call the Vitruvian Man, depicted the ideals, which were the proportions of the human body. He puts a human body out there and people are like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? But maybe that's, you know, progress, if you will. So technologies is our new religion, if you will. Our future, I think, is going to be, and I feel, is going to be more human, not less. I do feel people are going to come back more to a center. Again, the future is bright. And it's I don't think it's going to get to the utopia that I'm hoping, which is, you know, super humanity, if you will. But we've already seen a lot of good things coming out of technology. And technology, you know, from a speech that was done back in 2017, technology, quote, technology can do great things, but it does not want to do great things. It doesn't want anything. The want has to come from us. And the future is something we create every day by action or by inaction. End quote. And that's from a 2017 MIT commencement speech that was talking all about technology. So in order for this new renaissance to take hold, our, you know, like I said, we have to govern it, we have to navigate it, we have to be educated about it, and it needs to leave behind its, you know, industrial area obsession with efficiency and productivity, and, you know, focus more on enabling and empowering humans only skills to work in conjunction with AI, because the bottom line is, you know, technology is coming, AI is coming, robots are coming, flying cars are coming, space travel is coming, extra dimensional beings are coming, that we'll learn that we're not alone, that'll never be another part of our renaissance, whether that's little green men or just the awareness through the James Webb telescope that we can see another, you know, planet that has modernization and shows, you know, signatures of intelligence. That's going to happen in our roaring 20s in the next, I guess I got 7 years to try to fulfill that. But, you know, they're coming, and they're coming to handle what some people would call the donkey work, or the work that people don't want to do, and the chores and the commodity tasks. And if we're clever, we'll let them, and we'll start to focus on new industries, new ways of being. So that's just a little bit, you know, welcome to our 2020, welcome to 2023, the year of truth and numerology, the number 7 year, it's the new renaissance. And I think some of the things that, you know, that we're going to see, I talked about the work from some of the writings, and if you want to check it out, Arundhati Roy is his name, and he talked about 6 pivotal points that are possible. He talked about a shift from the global domestic product to well-being. He talked about 2, from roads, rates, and rubbish to an anticipatory city, which means a city like a utopia where people work together for the common good. Think of it as not socialism, not communism, because when you live in a commune, that's communism, but don't think Russia communism as a form of control. Think a commune, think socialism and communism joined together to create this utopia and to support anticipatory city. He talked about we're going to move from the central fossil fuel systems to a decentralized distributed renewable systems. We just discovered fusion in late December. The Energy Department announced that. How fascinating and awesome is that? If you're not familiar with fusion, that's something you can look at after you get off this podcast. It's equivalent to electricity. And we know what electricity did for us when they first lit up the World Fair in Chicago in 1902. I'm not sure on my date there, but the turn of the century there is when electricity, when we started to move from, fuel and gas to an actual electrical grid. That's what fusion is going to do for our fossil fuels and getting away from those, which is renewable, decentralized, and good for the planet. He talked about we're going to have a pivot point towards a green, fair, and coordinated Earth and region where the governments will start to work together towards inclusion and partnership, and of course, toward the inner self. And of course, while in the long run, we may create a wiser world equally possible in a decent era of pandemics and catastrophic climate change and violent tribalism, but I see this portal as a way to move forward and to create this new world if we're open to do that. So I said I had a surprise for you at the end, and I'm just going to read this verbatim. And I'll let you decide. But it says this: the new renaissance of the 21st century is characterized by the rapid pace of technology advancements and the emergence of innovative ideas that are transforming the world. This renaissance is marked by the fusion of art, science, and technology, which has created new forms of expression and opened up new possibilities for human creativity. In this essay, we will explore the key features of this new renaissance and its impact on society. One of the defining features of the new renaissance is the emphasis of interdisciplinary collaboration. Innovators from diverse fields such as art, science, engineering, and business are working together to create new products, services, and experiences. This collaboration has enabled the development of cutting-edge technologies such as artificial intelligence, blockchain, and virtual reality, which are transforming the way we live and the way we work. Another key feature of this new renaissance is the democratization of creativity. Thanks to digital platforms and social media, anyone can share their ideas and creations with the world. This has led to a proliferation of new forms of art and entertainment, such as video games, podcasts, like Inspired Living, and web series, like my show, Metaphysical Mocha Mondays, both on my Facebook page and YouTube channel. It has also enabled new voices and perspectives to emerge, challenge traditional power structures, and creating a more diverse and inclusive community. The new renaissance is also characterized by a focus of sustainability and social impact as the world grapples with climate change and social inequality. Innovators are using technology and design to create solutions that address these pressing issues. From renewable energy to green infrastructure to a social entrepreneurship and impact investing, The new renaissance is ushering in a new era of responsible innovation and social progress. However, the new renaissance also poses challenges and risks. The rapid pace of technology change and the interconnections of the global systems may make it difficult to predict the long-term consequences of our actions. The new renaissance also raises questions about privacy, security, and ethics of our technology. As we navigate in this new area of creativity and innovation, we must be mindful of these challenges and work together to create a sustainable and equitable future. In conclusion, the new renaissance of the 21st century is a testament to human ingenuity and creativity. It is marked by a fusion of art, science, and technology, interdisciplinary collaboration, and a focus on sustainability and social impact. However, it also poses challenges and risks that must be addressed. As we navigate this new era, we must embrace innovation while also mindful of its impact on society and the planet. Only then can we truly transform an inclusive future for all. So with that, that was an essay written by artificial intelligence, just based on the words that I typed, transformation in the Renaissance in our roaring 20s. So thanks for listening in. Thanks for listening in today. And until our next soul adventure together, be kind, caring, and compassionate. And most importantly, wherever you're at in this world of Renaissance in the roaring 20s, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live, and discover that diamond within. We'll see you next time here on Inspired Living Radio. Have a great week. Namaste.